At Quite the Thing Media, we aim to bring you the best podcasts produced by independent creators, made without constraints.
This is Zach from the Neatcast and Effin' Cultured. Thanks for joining Podcast Father on his journey, sharing the great things that all sorts of creators are doing. He's the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artists? You've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster with your host, the Podcast Father.
This is my show. This is our show. This is everyone's show. It's Indie Podcaster. I'm your host, Jeff Claire Santama, the world famous 48 Hours producer and creator of the Final Days on Earth podcast, joins me today.
Jeff, thanks so much. And with an introduction like that, I don't even know. I should just leave right now. You've made me sound so good.
World famous. Everybody around the world knows you. You are what's being talked about during this whole Olympics.
I don't know about all that, Jeff.
This sounds cool, though. So today we're going to talk about Nicolas Cage. Well, I'm just kidding. It's not necessarily Nicolas Cage, but it's National Treasure Hunt podcast with Aubrey Paris and Emily Black. Are you a huge Nicolas Cage fan where you could do a podcast on him?
I probably could do a podcast on Nicolas Cage. His movies are incredible and he has such a huge library of them, but I would never do one on National Treasure because Aubrey and Emily have it covered. This is such a great podcast, so definitive on the series. And from two extremely smart people. I mean, how many people doing podcasts have PhDs? That's pretty impressive.
Not me. I tell you that, Aaron. A bachelor was enough. Man, I just got that bad boy paid off.
I feel you.
So, do you ever say to your husband, like, man, I wish you were a little bit more like Nicolas Cage?
Every night. Do you have my house bug, Jeff?
I don't, but I'm a man, and every night I go to sleep, I say, damn, I just wish I was a little bit more like Nick Cage. But all jokes aside, I do think everybody will like this interview and definitely check out their podcast. But before we deep dive into the podcast, I'm going to take care of a little business. Myself and this podcast are proud members of Quite the Thing Media. Make sure you're checking out Quite the Thing Media. Go to quitethethingmedia.com. If you want to go to my personal site, it's actually at Quite the Thing Media, quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather. There you can request to be on this podcast as a guest. Also, a review from me on site. Make sure you're checking out all the great original podcasts on site and the independent creators on site, quitethethingmedia.com. Couldn't do this podcast without the hosting platform, Captivate FM. Captivate FM is great, guys. I can't tell you how great it is. I could talk about it all day, but I will tell you one thing. For me, as a new podcaster, it's amazing. There's all sorts of tools, growth labs, etc. The team is so hands-on at Captivate FM. They will help you through your journey. If you're a podcaster or content creator, you want to distribute your stuff, go to CaptivateFM.com. They'll go ahead and give you 7 free days off the bat, but I'll tell you what, if you go to my Quite the Thing Media page, quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather, there at the bottom you'll find an affiliate link. You can get 30 days of Captivate FM free. Why wouldn't you check it out? Captivate FM. This podcast is sponsored by Good Pods, my great friends at Good Pods. This is an amazing app, guys. You get on there, you see what podcast your friends and influencers are listening to. Download the Good Pods app. All the music on this podcast is from the artist Young Karts. Young Karts, great independent artist. You got to check out all the work. Go to the site, youngkartsbeats.com. If you want to contact me, you can find me on Twitter at @podcast_father, or the podcast actually has an account too, at @indie_podcaster, or good old fashioned email, always great too, thepodcastfather@gmail.com. You want to support this podcast? One great way you can do for me is you can go onto your favorite podcast listening platform, may that be an Apple or Good Pods, and give me a rating, throw me a 5-star, type some nice things to me. If you don't even want to type, don't worry about it. Just throw me some stars. Any feedback is appreciated. I really do appreciate it. If you want to get real crazy and support me, you can always buy me a coffee. Check it out on my Quite the Thing Media page. That's enough for the business. Let's get to the view. Joining me today, Aubrey and then Emily from the National Treasure Hunt podcast. Now, it's great to have you on. I'll give you a second to talk about the podcast, but I did want to say that course, I've been listening to dozens of podcasts, but today I did listen to your latest two episodes. So season two finale, then the one before that. And it's just so cool that you guys found something that's so, you know, specific and you care about it so much.
Thank you so much. What a kind introduction. We're absolutely honored to be here. I'm Aubrey for everyone listening in.
I'm Emily. Yes. Thank you so much for having us. It's great to know that you loved the last or that you enjoyed the last two episodes of our latest season.
I just think it's so cool that you know, you've got two seasons out of it and then a third. I did listen to the interview you guys had with Jack Shaw for quite the interview, you know, Quite Thing Media, work with him. And I thought it was, so I got to hear like a little bit about your backstory and all that. We'll go through it real quick just for listeners. I'm sure there'll be different listeners. You went to college together, right? And that's how you met. So are you like in a room, in a dorm, or how exactly did you meet in college?
Oh gosh. Actually, I wonder if we have the same answer to this question. No, that's actually funny that you mentioned that. Yeah, we went to college together. We went to Ursinus College. It's a small liberal arts school in Pennsylvania. We love it. And we were college roommates for our sophomore, junior, and senior years. But we met during our freshman year, I think in our Bio 101 class. Is that right, Em?
So I remember it differently.
Oh, God, I remember. See, I knew it.
We got placed in an advanced chemistry class. And I was looking for someone else who was also in the class because I was very stressed about it. And I found Aubrey was in the class, found her on Facebook and started talking to her a little bit on Facebook Messenger. So we kind of knew each other a little bit going into the first day of classes. And then we had other classes together and started hanging out.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that.
Emily knows all the details, I guess. Now I know who's paying attention to that. So when I went to college, the school assigned the roommates in most situations, I guess, unless you went through, maybe submitted some forms to request. Is that what happened here? Or did you guys link up and do that after the biology? Or did the school just randomly assign you guys?
Go ahead, Em.
No, we picked each other. Cool. Yeah, I kind of hung out. I didn't live on campus my freshman year, and I was basically her like extra roommate because I just hung out in her room all the time. And so then after that, we just decided that we wanted to be roommates because we worked well together, and then it worked enough that we kept doing it.
Well, how does this timeline relate to National Treasure Hunt, the franchise of those movies? So what part were we at on that?
So National Treasure, the first film came out in 2004. The sequel came out in 2007. And at that point, Emily and I we didn't know each other. We were, I think, middle school aged. But we were in college together from 2011 to 2015. So as you know, Jeff, from hearing our story on Quite the Interview, we really did bond over the mutual classes that we had. But on a personal level, Emily and I are very different. We are extremely different people. We have none of the same interests, I think. Wow. It's pretty safe to say. And so we learned very quickly that, like, oh, if we were going to watch a movie together or a TV show together, the things that I wanted to watch, she had no interest in. The things she wanted to watch, I was like, nah.
What kind of examples? Like, what would you watch, Aubrey?
Oh gosh. It's like Pretty Little Liars.
Okay.
So like lots of Freeform, ABC Family shows or murder mysteries, very polar opposites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emily.
I'm all into superheroes. So I was watching all the CW superhero shows like Arrow and The Flash and stuff like that.
Yeah, we kind of like landed in the middle. We learned that we actually both really liked National Treasure, and it became something we watched together frequently, and we didn't revisit it collectively after we graduated until last year in 2020 during the pandemic to make the podcast.
It's pretty crazy because I guess I just assumed like at least one of the movies came out when you guys were together, you know, at the same college, and you like went to the movie theater together, and that was your bonding moment. So it's pretty cool that you actually bonded over a movie that had been out for 6, 7, 8, not, you know, as it went through the years, like 6 to 10 years. That's pretty crazy. I guess I just assumed it was like a new thing then. How did you find out that you both liked the movie so much? Like, did one of you bring it up first? Like, hey, like, do you like this movie? Or are you, like, did you keep trying to watch different movies and you just both weren't interested until you got to this movie or
something like that? What I really think happened is, and Emily, maybe you remember differently, but since that's already happened once today, but you know, National Treasure is one of those movies that's on TV all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's great for us, but I suspect because we did have a TV in our dorm room that it was one of those times it was on TV. We put it on and that sort of, you know, the other person walks in and it's like, oh my God, I love this movie too. Oh my God, we finally have something in common.
Yes, that's how I remember it. Good job.
Yay.
And even back then, it wasn't as easy to like, trying to think of how to word it, watch any movie that you wanted to, right? Like now it seems like it's even easier than it was around 10 years ago. So you found it on TV. I guess that makes sense because you're right. It is a movie that is frequently on, you know, whatever channel. So that's super cool. So many years have passed by. And had either one of you tried to do a podcast before? Was it, Aubrey, had you tried to do something with a podcast?
Yeah, I actually had another podcast for 5 years, starting not long after we left college. I was in grad school and working part-time for a science policy think tank, and they were looking to get more active in the social media and just science communication sphere. Emily and I, hence those classes we mentioned, we both have science backgrounds. And so I kind of started up and produced and co-host their podcast for 5 years until I left the organization when I started my current job after grad school. So it was a really good learning experience and definitely, I really think helped Emily and myself when we decided to take this route ourselves. I don't know that we would have jumped into this so headfirst if I didn't have some of that background experience, if Emily didn't already have some audio editing experience thanks to her background in music. So yeah, I've learned a lot from that old experience and part of that was what not to do.
That's quite a while ago in like the advancements of equipment and even how has podcasting changed since then? You're talking, you did that for 5 years.
Yeah.
I did a show on the internet forever ago. And before there was, I hadn't even heard the word podcasting. It was, you know, internet radio, but still in that amount of time, things have changed a lot, right?
For sure. I mean, oddly enough, I still use the same headset that I used 6 years ago when I started. And it's so funny. It's so low tech, but it's so effective. No, but absolutely. Part of it's also, I think, in the ability to put together quality episodes now that the public writ large is familiar with and embracing the concept of podcasts. So it's easier to get an interview. People are more comfortable being recorded and having conversations that are going to be public. But the other big difference I think that I learned about over time was just the different structures that different podcasts can have. So by necessity, that other show that I did was semi-scripted. We had really strict rules about what we could and couldn't say for that organization. And so in that way, my co-hosts and I kind of had to pretend to be voice actors to make it sound the least amount of scripted as possible. Whereas with Emily, you know, in the structure that we have now, we have notes, but it's way more free form, free flowing, conversational, which I personally like that structure a lot more, but you can have anything in between. And I think, you know, the more podcasts you listen to, the more formats are acceptable these days, whether it's completely narrative, entirely conversational, scripted, not scripted, interview, not interview, snippet based, you name it.
How much time went in between you guys speaking, may I ask? So you graduated college. I don't know if you were in the same class. So was it really between all that time and the pandemic and graduation, or would you casually be like, hi, how are you? Email, text, whatever.
We stayed in touch. We were very good about it. Like the first year after we graduated,
That's how it usually goes, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, we both kind of like drifted apart, I think, in terms of just our communication with one another. And every once in a while, we would say, hi, how's it going? And stuff like that. We never like completely stopped talking. But we hadn't really had a form. I mean, kind of like Aubrey was saying, we don't have a ton in common. So we didn't, it's not like I was texting her every week about what had happened on Arrow or something like that. So we didn't really have a form to communicate what was going on in our lives until Aubrey kind of, you know, called up during the pandemic with this idea.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm sure you've talked to a lot of other podcasters, how many podcasts have started during the pandemic. So how much time were you spending on the podcast a week? And then how much are you now? Because it's very evident that like you're going beyond just National Treasure in the sense you're taking a theme or a topic and you have research and all that going into it. How much time a week were you spending on that at the beginning? And how about now?
Great question. I think it varies a little bit. And Emily and I have slightly different roles in the full process. So we both contribute to, you know, jotting down notes and everything and prepping for interviews or for the episodes that don't have interviews. And then we record together. And then beyond that, Emily does our audio editing and I handle all of our social media engagement. So so I think it ebbs and flows, but on an average week, I mean, in total, the amount of time across all of that, all those aspects of the production process, collectively between the two of us, maybe 10 hours. Does that sound like it could be accurate, Em?
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I usually leave my stuff until the last minute and I'm doing it like right before I need to get an episode to Aubrey or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I've still logged the hours, basically, putting it together. Yeah.
So you each have your own area that you take care of. Because I know I've talked to some people where they like almost like take turns on which episode, who does the outlining, and then who like does, I'm going to call it play by play, then who commentates, you know, makes comments throughout it, and they change off. So you guys actually have defined roles that you stick to when you're doing it based off of your background. Aubrey, you have a background in podcasting, then Emily, musical editing, and you're familiar with all that.
Yeah. And you know, there is something to be said for the episode outlining process. The thing about our episodes, as folks who've listened to a number of them will know, is that episode to episode, the structure changes a little bit, though we have certain types of episodes and those types have a consistent structure. So for example, when we do a historical deep dive episode, all of those sound kind of similar to one another, but they're different from when we compare National Treasure to another adventure film franchise.
Right.
But then all of those have a similar structure. And we do both contribute to the planning process for all of them. But I think, you know, Emily, you and I probably take the lead, if you will, on different types. So I think I do a lot of the history ones or the behind the scenes of filming ones, whereas you do a lot of the comparisons with other films and things like that, just as an example.
Yeah, I'm definitely more the kind of pop culture type person and like ethic kind of comparisons of things. And I definitely also am the person who will follow the script the least. not script, but follow the outline we have the least. It's kind of a lot of times we'll discuss beforehand, but it's kind of my job to kind of interject with sarcastic comments and stuff like that, just because that's who I am as a person.
Yeah, if we have any baseball fans out there, I tend to be the play-by-play commentator and Emily's the color commentator.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And then she also has a problem making the deadlines, right? As you alluded to. That's funny. So you're the one that also has a struggle sticking to the script and also the one that struggle making deadlines. But it says something about your personalities though, right? I'm not saying they're bad or wrong, but you guys are able to coexist and you understand each other. and you're able to make it work. And that's how you're also such good friends over the years, because you have that understanding.
Yeah, I think that's really well put. And I couldn't have said it better. Our dynamic, I think, comes across pretty naturally in the episodes, especially the ones that are just focused on the two of us having a conversation and deep diving into a point. We've almost fallen into these roles of I'm the serious one and Emily's the goofy one, which I think does play into our personalities a bit. We lean into things when they're working. And I don't know, one of those examples, and it's really funny since Emily was better at remembering our friendship history than myself, but in our podcast, Emily really struggles to remember things that happened in these movies, even though she's seen them 87,000 times. And we lean into that really heavily because it's hilarious. And she likes to constantly qualify that she is able to host this podcast and she is qualified to do so. Would you like to comment, Em?
Yeah, do you have a comment on that?
I mean, no, that's very accurate. I don't understand why my memory of these movies is just not fantastic, but it's definitely not to Aubrey's level. But I think the enthusiasm that I bring to the conversations is kind of makes up for my lack of, you know, chronological understanding of the plot lines of the films.
True comprehension of the film, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And to your point about us like working well together, I think also part of, I don't know that we wouldn't be in a position to do this podcast if we hadn't lived together, but I don't know that we would be able to do it as successfully if we hadn't lived together, because we definitely over the 3 years that we did share a room, we learned kind of how each person functions.
Yeah. And living with somebody, yeah. I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah. And we learned, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm a very early morning person, so I'll get up really early and I'll start editing the episodes. And Aubrey knows that by the time she gets up, the episode will be ready for her to look at. And she trusts me enough to know that I'm always going to get it to her in time, but also puts up with the fact that I'm not going to do it until like 4 a.m.
I do want to take another second here to talk about the sponsor of this podcast, Good Pods. Like I mentioned earlier in the intro, you can see what podcasts your friends and influencers are listening to. This app is great, and the creators and team Good Pods are very serious about making you the greatest listening experience for a podcast. Not only just the quality of the audio listening piece, but also the social aspect. This is a really awesome app. I can't suggest it enough. I'm very involved in there. They're very dedicated to podcasters, independent podcasters, and listeners. I have a couple groups on there you should go check out. The Indie Podcasters group, highlight indie podcasters, obviously. I've also recently created a true crime group. I'm a big true crime fan. You should join both of those groups. And every week, we do pick podcasts out of the Indie Podcasters group to highlight in the recommended section. But once again, I'll say it again, the Good Pods team is a great team of people. I can personally vouch for them, but they're also dedicated to making this app as good as possible. You can talk to them on social media directly. They will respond. They take all recommendations very serious. There's a great team at Good Pods. Make sure you download the Good Pods app and listen to your podcast there. Let's get back to the interview. So I think that's the podcast is so direct right now. And I think one of the things that does make it work is your guys' relationship that you have. And the second is in what I'm doing with this podcast, highlighting creators, right? And the different good things going on in the community. And I think one of the best things you guys have going is your ability to take something, I'm not going to say as simple as, but to take a movie like this and to really look into it and pull all these underlying other messages, plots, themes, we'll call them themes, all these other themes that come from the movie, and go on sidebars about those in detail. Because if you're really just doing the movie, that would be harder in heck to stretch it past one season, really. But you're able to see all these underlying themes in these films and branch off and find people that relate to that and then content. That says something to your creative side.
Thank you. I really appreciate that because that's exactly what you said has been our goal from the beginning. It's really taking this niche area and saying, okay, let's expand upon this and think about all the different ways in which you can analyze this movie franchise, these two movies, maybe one day a third, fingers crossed. But I honestly attribute a lot of our ability and desire to do that to our joint background at Ursinus College. I mean, I hate to be one of those people that's just like so rah-rah about their alma mater, but I think our time at Ursinus profoundly impacted both Emily and myself, probably in different ways since we are very different people. But one thing that I think it's impossible to leave Ursinus without this really deep appreciation for how the major that you study intersects with pretty much every other major on campus. So intersections between all 30 or whatever thematic areas. So you could imagine how then you can take any topic in your life, whether it's a movie, a book, a song, probably anything, and apply that same level of thinking. How does this movie, how does National Treasure have components of ethics, like Emily mentioned? How does it relate to our science backgrounds? There's a lot of history in it, and we get a lot of episodes out of that history. So what about that history is presented factually or incorrectly? Where were liberties taken? Can you go at it from a film studies perspective, from a literature perspective, and deep dive into character analyses? Can you talk about current events? And how, you know, why is it that whenever a major event happens in society, especially in Washington, D.C., Twitter is flooded with Ben Gates memes? You know, that it's funny and we appreciate it. And oh my goodness, do people send us all of the memes and we appreciate it. But there's a reason for that. There's cultural relevance here, whether from a pop culture perspective or just societal themes and what's going on in the world. And so I really think, honestly, you could probably take this approach with just about any film or any film franchise, as long as you're willing to really dive into it. I mean, I don't know that I could personally do this with any other film based on my current understanding of those films. I don't think I know any other franchise well enough, but I think it could be done. I know that was long-winded, but that's really where I think the root of this comes from.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I've always been the kind of person who just has a really strong belief that you can learn lessons and gain valuable knowledge from anywhere, any kind of format. So one of the things that I like to do is I collect quotes, and they can be really meaningful quotes from like a comedy show. And it's one of those things that I've kind of taken with me through life. And as Aubrey mentioned, our time at Ursinus, you know, we had a class in our freshman year called the Common Intellectual Experience, or CIE, where we basically read books and then had to do deep analysis of them and compare them to what was happening in society and all of that kind of stuff. So I think we really, you know, we're primed to do that. And I think that's something that I learned in like listening to podcasts, because Aubrey and I, in addition to being different people, listen to different kinds of podcasts.
Very different.
And so a lot of the podcasts I listen to are kind of these analysis of different television shows and movie franchises. And they talk about bringing things into popular culture and into societal issues and do some deep dives into that kind of stuff. So I had some experience also with kind of that format of doing things, which gave me at least a little more confidence going into this, thinking like, well, there will be an audience for this kind of thing. And, you know, thankfully there seems to be.
like I said, it's because you go just beyond the movie, right? So back to what would you both say if you had one thing you could pick from these movies that is more in-depth and detailed as it relates to society or anything as an underlying theme that you may not, like a normal person may just not get from watching the movie once. Like I've only watched them a few times. What impactful meaning, message, theme are there in these movies that maybe somebody like me who've only seen the movies once or twice has not seen? And how, and what does it mean to you guys?
Emily, did you want to start? Because I mean, we did the whole episode diving into meaningful quotes, and Emily led that episode as the quote guru. I think you probably have some thoughts to kick it off.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I absolutely love that question. I think, you know, I don't know that I can say that nobody would necessarily get this from having seen the movies only a few times, but something that I find particularly prevalent upon my rewatches of the movies, and something that has, you know, we've talked about it on our podcast a few times, has come up more recently in society and become even more applicable, are a lot of the quotes that Ben Gates says. And, you know, there's one point where he quotes the Declaration of Independence, and the other character, Riley, doesn't really understand what it means. And Ben explains that basically what it means is that if you have the ability to do something, you should do it. And I think that we've seen that a lot in society, even in the past year, with people standing up for different issues and people realizing that they do have the power to do something and taking that upon themselves to go ahead and do that. And I think that, you know, throughout the movie, Ben is a very good, he emulates that very well as well. Even though he's doing it in kind of a fantastical sense, looking for a treasure and stuff, he still is taking that core idea of, you know, something's wrong, something is hidden in history that needs to be uncovered. I'm going to go ahead and I have the ability to do something about it. So I'm going to go and do it.
For me, I think, and I completely agree with what Emily said, but another angle to think about is these movies are really a celebration of intellect and curiosity, which is something that I don't think society writ large always has an appreciation for, especially at some of the younger ages when I think a lot of people watch these films for the first time. You know, we've talked on our show about how these movies are used in classroom settings frequently, and we've debated the validity of that. But one thing that, whether you agree with that or not, you know, is that it is students that are watching these movies a lot of the time. And the fact that it's a celebration of a person, Ben Gates, who is extremely bright, is extremely passionate about the knowledge he has for history. And it is alluded to that he has been ridiculed by the community, but everyone that we see in that movie is extremely respectful and almost in awe of his knowledge and his passion and his curiosity. Even the people who are presented as sort of the normal ones, right? Where you have Riley who's the sidekick acting as the eyes and ears of the audience, and Abigail, who joins the hunt, but she is very much from the normal world. You know, she is the archivist at the National Archives and what have you, they all buy in because they have such respect for this man's passion and the knowledge that he has. And I think that's really cool and not something that we see enough of.
The best thing about your podcast is really that it makes you think, you know, makes you think more about things beyond just the movie National Treasure. I could talk about it all day, but I made sure I wanted to really highlight that creative piece, because that's critical. That's why we do that, and that's what your specialty is. We obviously cross paths on Twitter, Aubrey. You said, yes, you're the one managing the Twitter, and we've kind of have this like independent podcast movement. It has some traction. Let me say, what is a major podcast that you've listened to in the past then what are some of the small independent little guys that you've come across here lately that have, that you really like? Maybe they've inspired you a little bit. Maybe they've got you some ideas, or you just enjoyed them.
Totally. I'm happy to start. And then Emily, I know you'll have some answers as well. This actually speaks really well to what Emily mentioned as the differences in the podcasts that she and I listen to. So most of the podcasts that I listen to that are sort of bigger in scope are related to the Bachelor franchise. So lots of shows that are hosted by former contestants on the Bachelor franchise. And so they're basically like C or D list celebrities at this point. So they're on iHeartRadio and, you know, have all these, you know, their podcast one or whatever. I listen to them mostly for the credibility that you hope they bring for like a behind the scenes look at that show and that franchise. Turns out that, you know, they're just very, they just say what the producers want them to say. And so I don't honestly don't know why I listen to them all the time. One of them, okay, let's put it this way. I listen to them and they give me, they give a good example of what in theory a well-produced podcast sounds like, you know, quality, timing, yeah, all that kind of stuff. But to be honest with you, I really do enjoy more from an entertainment perspective, the podcasts that are from more of the independent community, because they have such a unique perspective and they have something different to say. If I were to show you my Apple Podcast queue right now, it's literally, you know, 10 different Bachelor podcasts that are all pretty much saying the same thing. And I wouldn't even be able to imagine a way to, let's say I wanted to start a Bachelor podcast, I wouldn't imagine a single way to be able to creatively do that that differentiates me from all of the thousands of other Bachelor podcasts out there. It's the independent podcaster community that finds niche angles, kind of like what we've tried to do, that is really doing something different. And that's why I find it so enjoyable. So for me, I really like a couple of our friends that we talk to frequently on Twitter. So Cage Off is a Nicolas Cage podcast. There's a small group of Nicolas Cage podcasts out there that all take a slightly different approach, whether it's analyzing his films or trying to rank them or, you know, debate why Rotten Tomatoes is wrong, basically. Cage Off was really fun to listen to because they've created a bracket of all of Nick Cage's films and they pit the films against each other sort of like one-to-one and like have the battle it out conversation to talk about the strengths and the weaknesses of these films. And that's something that I've really enjoyed listening to recently, at least. But I think all the Nick Cage podcasters are doing something really fun.
Yeah. So I got my podcast kind of journey started by listening to, they're more mainstream, but Dear Hank and John is a podcast that I listen to. I listen to a lot of kind of TV show recap podcasts, like Buffering the Vampire Slayer, Angel on Top. And what I really like about especially the latter two is that it's, you know, taking something that I'm really passionate about, like these shows, and it's going through episode by episode and doing kind of that deep dive into, you know, there's parts where you're making fun of what is happening because it was made in the 90s and early 2000s. And it's, you know, super different than now, but also pointing out, oh, hey, this is probably really problematic. And like, this is not how this was supposed to be portrayed. You know, there's been stuff coming out recently about some of the creators of the shows, and to hear the different podcasters kind of address those concerns within the context of the show itself and how the show is produced and written and the characters are treated is something that, you know, is really, really interesting to me. And so I'd say that I definitely tend to go more towards those kinds of podcasts, but I think recently, and you know, it, like Aubrey said, a lot of our friends that we, you know, talk to on social media, I think one of my favorite more indie podcasts is I Drink Your Podcast. And I just really like that one because I'm always looking for podcasts, right? Like aside from just the couple that I listen to, I'm always looking to kind of invest in some other ones, and having, you know, done an episode with them, I, you know, feel like I know them a little bit. So I really like their dynamic, the way that they host the podcast and talk about things, and also kind of like what they're doing for the community as a whole, I think is really, really nice. And it helps it kind of, like I said, introduce me to things that I might not have known to go check out on my own.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I really do appreciate you coming on and talking to me today. I can't suggest people enough just to check out the podcast. It is a specialty thing, but it is really good. I think you get to see two creators, and really it's brilliant. Let's tell all the listeners where they can find your podcast.
Emily, you do the honors.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at NT Hunt Podcast. Go ahead and follow us there. We post a lot of our content there, as well as the episode links. And you can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and even on SoundCloud. And go ahead and rate, subscribe, review, do whatever you can for us on those platforms.
Yeah. Once again, it's National Treasure Hunt.
That's kind of important to bring up, right?
Yeah, you know, here and there.
It'll be in the show notes. Don't worry. Well, like I said, it's a hell of a good time. Thanks for coming on. It's been great meeting you. We'll keep in touch. We'll have to do this again someday. I really do enjoy your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We really appreciated being here.
Yep. Keep in touch. Talk to you soon. Really do appreciate you listening to this episode and checking it out. I hope you continue to do so with the next. I hope you have an appreciation for what I'm trying to do here. Highlight all the different things, all sorts of different creators are doing. I hope you get behind me on that and continue to join me on my journey. I'm Podcast Father, the Indie Podcaster. See you next time.